Welcome to Under the Radar, a show about independent iOS app development. I'm Marco Arment.
And I'm David Smith. Under the Radar is usually not longer than 30 minutes, so let's get started.
So recently, as listeners of ATP might know, my family purchased our favorite restaurant to save it from possible worse fates. And so we have been spending a lot of time basically getting that transferred over and getting it ready. And we are not day-to-day managers of it. Fortunately, the staff will do that. But there has been a lot of work for us in kind of transition and setup. And so as a result of that, I have been doing almost no work on Overcast for maybe 2 months or so. That's put me in kind of an interesting position of, first of all, like, kind of every day kind of just crossing my fingers and hoping, like, I hope nothing breaks today.
Sure.
And I think there's also been a little bit of kind of, you know, guilt that I should be working on it. But, you know, that's a topic for a different episode. and don't worry, everybody, I'm coming back to it. It's just a question of getting things, you know, finishing up all the transfers and setup processes so that the staff can do their jobs. So in the meantime, kind of got us thinking, like, designing or considering self-sufficiency in our products and our apps and our services, so that, you know, right now the reason I've been able to mostly not work on Overcast for a couple of months is the result of having built a lot of headroom into things, having designed things to not need frequent or constant daily interaction, and for the very few things that do need, you know, regular interaction, making those things as few and simple and fast as possible. You know, I have spanned in my career lots of different roles and product roles, from needing constant attention, like, you know, like at the peak of Tumblr, like, well, most of my time at Tumblr, I was needed to be constantly on call because the growth of the service was so strong and we had so relatively limited resources and staff that, like, I was constantly on call to deal with servers that were exceeding capacities and breaking and falling over and failing and errors and things like that. And over the course of my career since then, you know, Tumblr was kind of the peak of that, you know, kind of stress and you know, high stakes environment. And then Instapaper after that was like a little bit less because it was just way less traffic. The servers were still a little bit needy, but, you know, way less traffic. And then, you know, I had to often deal with Instapaper, like, the article parser is now broken on some popular website and I have to go make a definition or a rule change to fix that on some other website. So there was constant need there. And Instapaper, I had a lot of support needs as well. And then Overcast, having learned from Tumblr and then Instapaper, I designed a lot of Overcast to not need nearly as much manual interaction from me. And so there's been, you know, different design decisions in place there, different feature designs, different expectations, and just a whole different kind of app. And I've kind of landed in a place now where I'm still running servers and a decent amount of them. I think I have 25 servers. Like, I'm still running servers, but things are much more stable now than they used to be. So I'm wondering, Dave, like, how have you found your journey through that and what have you found to be helpful there?
Yeah, because I think this is certainly something that I have learned the hard way. I think in some ways, same as you, where you, if you don't think about this kind of self-sufficiency or the degree to which you are putting yourself or some person specifically into an essential role of your app, eventually that is going to come back and bite you because there will inevitably, and in some ways, maybe it makes me think of how, like, it is so easy in the early days of designing and building something to not think about the downsides of success, where it is, you know, you start to think about, like, oh, well, I just wanted to succeed or exist in the first place. I don't think about, well, what if it exists and exists 10 years into the future? And is going to be something that is going to, you know, is what I'm doing sustainable? Like, maybe it will be in the short term, but it won't be in the long term. Like, I think the biggest place I ran into this was when I launched Feed Wrangler. Gosh, this was probably like, I don't even know, that was 10, 15 years ago, a long time, which was an RSS syncing service. And it's like, I launched it and didn't necessarily Like, it was initially built to just in a very basic, simple way, and it was more successful than I thought it would be, which was a great problem to have, but it meant that I had architected a lot of the back end of that system to not, you know, to be running close to its thresholds and to be using things in such a way that eventually, like, as use grew, the whole thing would just start to fall apart. And I was just constantly in there getting notifications, you know, oh, this service is down, or this aspect of something is above, you know, the CPU load that I had an alert for. And like, it was just constantly, I was involved. I was the linchpin. I was the thing that was holding, like, I was the duct tape holding the whole system together. And that was a terrible place to be. That was not a great situation, because it was not sustainable. Because if it meant that I took a couple of days away from the system and something went wrong, very bad things happen. And in the case of Reed Wrangler, there's sort of, I guess now, a famous story where I spent a couple of days in a cabin in the woods, and, you know, 10 minutes after I left, cell phone reception, it fell over. And for 2 or 3 days, it was completely down. And it started off, people were grumpy, and then people were worried about my safety. And yep. Like, it was a whole situation, right? Because I had built this thing that didn't have margin, didn't have headroom, didn't have this, you know, sort of was able to be sustained by my effort, and that put me in a bad position. And in the case of Feed Wrangler, eventually I just solved it with money, where I went from shared hosting to dedicated hosting that was substantially more expensive, but gave me so much headroom that I didn't have to be, you know, it's like the servers could deal with my lousy code in that way, that made it sustainable. But I think in the same time on iOS and on the apps that I've built, there's an element where I intentionally now try my best to build and structure my apps so that they don't rely on me for anything. And this has been very, you know, there's situations where, like, you know, when WidgetSmith had its moment and massively sort of had this massive explosive growth in users, I was incredibly glad that no part of that app had a server component at that point. There was nothing it did that required something other than locally on the user's device. And if you can push and maintain, you know, the user's device as the extent of largely what you're doing, there's a lot less things that can go wrong. There's a lot of fewer things that are going to come back to bite you. But subsequently, as I've been building out features or building things, you inevitably find yourself in this place where you're like, ooh, I could do that, but that would require me to build a server or to become responsible for something or to deal with user data in a way that is different. And that is a tension that now I have this feeling of, it's like, I'm pushing as much logic, as much thoughtfulness I can into the client, into the iPhone app itself, do as little as I can otherwise, because otherwise I do become essential. I do have a role to play, or I have a responsibility to play. And that is a dangerous thing to do, because life is going to change. Life is going to come and you'll be seasonal. Like, right now you're in a season where you are running a restaurant and setting that up. And as you say, like, that's not going to be probably forever, but it's going to be for some amount of time. And I've definitely had periods, you know, for health or personal or family reasons, where I have to step back from work for extended periods, for, you know, for weeks or a couple of months at the longest, I think I've run into. And in those periods, it's really awkward if you can't go on leave because you're an indie. Like, you don't have this big staff or team who could just step in and, you know, pull up the slack. In theory, maybe you could hire someone to be you, but, like, that's really awkward and complicated and difficult to do, especially if the reason you're taking this break is unplanned and awkward and you're not in a great, you know, physical and health, emotional, whatever state. Like, there's reasons why planning for this ahead of time can be really helpful. And so, yeah, it's like, it is, the self-sufficiency aspect is something that I am so grateful that, you know, past me has transitioned into this mindset that I want to not be the linchpin or have any person really be involved in the day-to-day core functions of an app. And as a result, when things come up, when I have to take a step back, it's usually totally fine. And there's nothing that I need to worry about. I can go off, you know, go to the cabin in the woods for a couple of days now and not be worried that something is going to horribly have blown up in the meantime, because that's just fundamentally how things are engineered. And that took intentional choice as a result, you know, to get to that place.
We are brought to you this episode by Things. If you want to achieve a goal, you've got to have a plan. And when it comes to making a plan, there's no better tool than the award-winning to-do app, Things. The idea behind Things is simple. You create a project for each of your goals, add the steps to reach those goals, then schedule when you want to work on them. Then each morning when you wake up, Things has already prepared your list of to-dos for the day. Just spend a few minutes reviewing the list, put your to-dos in the order you plan to do them, and then get on with your day. It doesn't matter which device you're on, your to-dos sync through the cloud, so they're always with you, on your computer, in your pocket, even on your wrist. You can also connect your calendars to see your events, schedule to-dos that automatically repeat, you can write your notes and things with markdown on each item, and so much more. But when it comes to Things, what you'll love more than any single feature is the app's amazing design. It doesn't just look good, it feels good to use. This is a native app made to a very high standard of quality, and it's a two-time winner of Apple Design Awards. So if you haven't tried Things, you got to check out the latest version. And I got to say, I fully agree. Things is by far the nicest to-do app I've seen on Apple's platforms. It's not even close. It's by far the best. So check out the latest version of Things if you haven't tried it or haven't tried it recently. You can download a free trial for your Mac. Just go to the website at things.app. That's THINGS.app. Exactly what you think. Things.app. You can also find it on the App Store. Just search for Things. Whatever it is you want to accomplish in life, Things can help you get there. Try Things today at things.app or click the link in our show notes. You will not regret it. Our thanks to Things for their support of this show and all of Relay. So I'm kind of thinking, like, when talking about self-sufficiency in apps, I kind of categorize it into a few different types of considerations. So I think number one thing that you want to avoid if you want your app to be reasonably self-sufficient is editorial roles for yourself. So this obviously varies based on the type of app. So like in my extreme case, when I was running the magazine, the entire product was the editorial content that had to be put out on a fixed interval. So there was no way for me to run that myself and have it be any kind of self-sufficient and have it tolerate any temporary losses of my time and resources, because the whole thing was the editorial content that had to be put out every 2 weeks. In Overcast, what that could look like would be things like featured podcasts in the directory, or any kind of like, you know, this week we're featuring this, or here's a news post that shows up in the app every 2 weeks or whatever. Like anything like that, I have intentionally not implemented human editorial content in Overcast, because if I did, that would require that I go and make that or do that or process that. And that isn't just typing some things into a text field necessarily. Like if it's podcast featuring, for instance, for the editorial directory content, that could require things like not only me finding the right podcast to feature, but also maybe like writing up a quick blurb or getting a certain sized image or something like that. And all of those things would add up. And it's better off if I don't rely on that kind of thing, rely on myself for that kind of thing, because then I would never be able to take a week off from that. That's something I'd have to do all the time. Kind of an offshoot to editorial is anything that is content in your app that is written by humans that becomes visible to other humans. And of course, that's not just writing. It could be, you know, photos or whatever. And you can think if there's any venue for users of your app to write things visible to other users, then you create the possibility for spam and abuse and copyright violation and all sorts of, you know, problems that you'd have to monitor and moderate and deal with and filter. And so again, in Overcast, there is no user review feature. There's no, I've intentionally left that out. So there is no way in Overcast for users to post or create or write things to other users. That way I don't have to deal with all of that. Because then there's all sorts of complexity there. You have to deal with not only, you know, what's decent and right, but then you have to deal with what's legal, and you have to deal with what's legal and decent and right all over the world in all different languages around the world that you don't speak. So there's lots of potential mess there if you can design your app not to have, you know, the user-facing content made by other users. And then you start looking at other areas of what can make an app sufficient or not. Infrastructure is a big one. And again, we're talking things like servers, but infrastructure can go into other areas too. Like where, if your app shows content, where is that content coming from? Does that require some kind of maintenance or special casing ever? You have to deal with that. Then there's business roles of your app. This is like, where does your money come from? Or do you have business relationships that you need to maintain? In my case, Overcast has ad banners for the free version, and I sell those ads on the website. So I have set that up so that every new ad I have to manually review and approve. So I have then created a job for myself that, like, when people buy an ad, it does not go live immediately. It goes into a queue, and I have to go a couple times a day and go refresh my admin page for that queue and see if there's any ads there and approve any that are there. And if I'm really busy, suppose, say, I'm traveling with family or something and I'm really busy, I still have to do that. Like, if I don't do that, those ads will just sit there, and the advertisers might get mad if they're sitting there for more than, you know, 12 or 24 hours. Like, they might start to get annoyed, like, why isn't my ad approved yet? And I don't get money until it's approved also. So there's, you know, I have created a job for myself, but it's a fairly simple one. But that's still, you know, if I was going to be so, you know, disconnected that I couldn't go do that at least once a day, I would have to have somebody do it for me. Like, that's how important that is. And then as you move up the ladder from that, I think the next up is support, like user technical or whatever support. This is probably the biggest one of these, but I think it's the easiest to deal with in the sense that, like, you will get the most support. Like, if you've designed your app to not have editorial, to not have human-to-human contact, to not have, like, tricky or high-maintenance infrastructure, to not have, you know, high business development needs, support will then be the thing that you have to deal with the most. And the good thing is that support is also usually the least pressing and the easiest to outsource. So if you fall behind in your support inbox by 3 or 4 days, probably doesn't matter that much. Unless you have, like, serious problems, you're probably okay with that. It's also the easiest thing if you want to hire a service or a person to cover your support for you. That is not, I wouldn't say it's easy in absolute terms. I've had very mixed success there myself, but it is the easiest to outsource of all these other things, typically. So that's something you can cover, you know, somewhat reasonably. And you can also choose or design your app in such a way that it either doesn't need a lot of support, hopefully, or in a slightly worse case, you can do what I do and set expectations to people that you don't really provide support and that most emails will not be answered. And then it becomes more of a kind of feedback or user request channel, which is very valuable in its own way, but it's far less engaging and far less demanding of your constant, never-ending time than support. And then finally, after all of that, if you cover all those things, then you have actually the code of the app, the writing of the app, bug fixes, updates. And that is the best thing to be the thing that's falling on you, because that's the part that you can do best and that you can often do on your own time and your own schedule and your own priorities. So that part, like, we all have to deal with occasional bug fixes, you know, but for the most part, until, you know, the OS changes under our feet, which does happen, but until the OS changes from under our feet, we can usually do that when we are good and ready. And so, you know, in my case with Overcast, I did a whole lot of work on the app during all of last year and the year before. So last year was a massive Overcast year. And because I did all that work, I'm able to take a breather now. Like, the app is in a pretty good place now. You know, a lot of the old problems with the old app are gone. Most of the problems with the new app are resolved. And so I'm able to take a brief time off now for a few months while I get all this stuff sorted. And then I'll be able to go back to the app on my own time, most likely this summer, and you know, get back into the full bandwidth swing of things with the actual bug fixes and improvements and new features and new designs and stuff like that.
Yeah, and I think in that, it's like you've made those choices as you work your way up that. And I think the interesting aspect is, A, that's a choice you have to make. And I think it's interesting, it's important probably to understand that if at those, as you're working up that hierarchy, if you have a project or something in mind that requires you to not, you know, to not decline a feature or to deal with something, like if you need user-generated content, if you need to deal with moderation or regular updates or business-to-business stuff, like if that is essential for your thing, in my mind, he's like, most likely, it's good to be keep in mind, you're likely going to need a staff. You're likely going to need people to, or maybe not necessarily a staff, but you are going to need outside help to accomplish those things if they become important. Because it is unlikely or unwise, perhaps moreover, to think that you would be able to just indefinitely manage that yourself. It's like, maybe you don't need the outside support initially while you're, until the thing actually happens. But as soon as it actually happens and you've suddenly created this, you know, sort of situation that you exist in, you may need that outside help. You may need that extra thing. And something like on the servers and services side, it's like something I've gotten into a lot more recently is like a lot of my services, you rely on these small, dedicated, sort of one-stop APIs that are necessary for something. So like in, you know, Pedometer +++, there's a thing that does directions for hikes as you walk around. And that was, could have been, as I was deciding, it's like, do I want to build something like this myself? And, you know, sort of explore it, and it's like technically possible. I could have used OpenStreetMap data and like this whole thing, infrastructure I could have built. Instead, I decided, you know, I'm going to get external help with that. And so I use Mapbox, which is a dedicated API provider who that's what they specialize in. And it's now become, in some ways, their problem that if their service goes down or there's some data change or some aspect of this needs to be updated, it's like they have an expertise and a specialty and a sort of an obligation to some degree to take care of that for me. And I think that has worked out really well for me in a lot of ways, where in some of our things, like I think both you and I, we tend on the code at the bottom of our app, we have a lot of tend to exert a fair amount of control on. We don't tend to use a lot of third-party libraries. We tend to roll a lot of things ourselves. And I think that's, for both of us, has kind of worked well insofar as we have a deep understanding and control over that part. And that works well because that part isn't really ongoing in the same way. It's ongoing in the sense that we have to update our app and do bug fixes, but it doesn't have the day-to-day, hour-by-hour sense of that. But as soon as it gets outside of the iPhone itself, I look for other ways that I can do this, that I can get external help. And, you know, I've subsequently hired someone who helps me with a lot of the other things that I can't do, because some of these roles are essential and are inevitable and are just part of the deal. But it's important, I think, to understand that where you're going to need external help, like that's going to happen. And if you don't think about it ahead of time, it's like eventually the situation will present itself where you will have to think about it. But you can decide how you're going to go. And it's like, for me, I spend money to avoid this. Maybe it's another way, the important aspect of this, that like one of the things that it was easy for me to get sucked into in the early days of being indie was that I was very averse to spending money on anything. I would always think, well, I can do it myself. I should just do it myself. And while like there may have been a very narrow, brief window where that was actually necessary in terms of getting the business up and running, that window was probably a matter of a few months. And I probably held on to that mindset for a few years, that I was holding on to this view that I needed to be involved in all aspects of things and didn't get the help I needed or tried to take on things that I probably shouldn't have, and not treated it like, if I can exchange money for my time, that is usually a pretty good exchange. That is usually a thing that is going to come back to benefit me. And in terms of making my apps more sustainable, it's like, as long as the app is generating enough income to do that thing, that to pull me out of the critical path of something, that's a great thing. And if it doesn't, if the app, you know, if the business doesn't generate that income to provide that, to externalize that need, it's like, the business isn't really a business. Like if it's only held together by me being the duct tape, it's not a business. It's not sustainable, and it's not going to live up to the long-term turbulence of life, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, and that's, I think it's really important to recognize that, like, no matter what you think when you're designing something, when you're, you know, in your 20s, like,
sure.
You know, no matter what you think, you will have times where you are needed to, like, you need to pull away from things. You need to not be available for various reasons. You know, maybe it's, you know, a health thing, or, you know, a major family event, or a loss, or just something really important is pulling you away. And even, you know, look, every night you have to sleep at some point.
Yeah.
You know, so every night, like, there's small scale versions of this happening every day for you. And then, you know, there's possible big scale versions of it happening, you know, when life throws you a curveball. And so, you should plan for this whether you think you need it or not. And then it's a question of just how much. And then on the other side of that, what I'm not saying is that you can just set things in motion and then just never think about your business again. Like, I'm sure. Definitely not saying that. You know, like the way I view a lot of these kind of, you know, life curveballs is more like, you know, you have like the short term versions of sleeping every night and maybe, you know, having a weekend to yourself. But then you have longer term versions, and those are kind of like sabbaticals, or, you know, like parental or, you know, maternity leave. It's like, well, you know, you can take leaves from your work here and there. If you are always on leave for many years, that's, you're not really doing that job anymore. But you should build your job in such a way that you can take leave when you need to, and the whole thing doesn't fall apart. And there's, you know, a lot of distance between those two extremes. And so, you know, if you are never taking time off, that's not healthy for you. And if you are always off, that's not going to be healthy for your business. But a lot of things in the middle are just fine, and that's life. And you can make that work if you think about it.
Yeah, in a weird way, it reminds me of, I had a friend who used to work in finance, like doing kind of, you know, stock trading and all kinds of things. And his company had a policy where every year he had to take 2 weeks consecutive leave where they completely shut him out of all of his work systems.
That's awesome.
And if for the company, it was this thing, it was a sort of a safe, it's like this way for them to safeguard against someone who was doing dodgy trading or doing things and was, you know, like doing this thing where they were, you know, wash trading or finding ways to hide a big loss or a big problem by continuously doing things that, you know, sort of hit it. But if after, you know, if most of those kinds of schemes or trades or things would unravel if they weren't sustained for, you know, in this case, a 2 week period. And it was a way for them to safeguard against that. And in some ways, that makes me think of as a mental exercise it's probably useful for us all to have. It's like, if we had a 2 week period where we were completely disconnected from our work, what would suffer as a result of that? What problems would be revealed? You know, in this case, it's what are these, you know, what maybe in your case, like your ads wouldn't be sold. And like that has a certain cost, and maybe that's okay, maybe that isn't. But it's probably just a useful mental exercise to think about. If I completely logged out of all of my, you know, all of my systems, never went, didn't check my email, didn't log into my servers, didn't look at my stats, all those kinds of things, what would be the consequence for, you know, I think 2 weeks is a reasonable amount of time to think about, where so many things, you know, would probably be fine for a couple of days, maybe a week. After 2 weeks, maybe it'd start to run into trouble. And if you have things in your app, in your business, in your situation that couldn't survive 2 weeks of you being away, that's probably something that's worth looking at and understanding and making sure that you have at least a vague notion of what you could do to address that. Because sometimes that's going to happen on a positive sense. You're going to buy a restaurant. You're going to want to set it up. It's going to be fun. There's going to be a great reason. Sometimes life is going to cause you to have to do that. And so being ready for it is just a wise move to do when, you know, when the sun is shining and things are straightforward is much better when, you know, you're in the middle of the hurricane and things aren't as great.
I love the idea of that as like a safeguard against, you know, fraud in the financial industry, but also like showing you, like, are you irreplaceable? And if you design something like that, you're also making sure, like in the case of your friend's business there, they're also making sure nobody's irreplaceable. Like that, you know, if somebody got hit by a bus, like no one is irreplaceable, because if their job just doesn't get done for a while, the business can continue and, you know, the system will not fail. And that's a hard thing to design for when you are a one-person business, but it's not totally impossible. So I like the idea of challenging yourself to start thinking about that, like to start thinking like, if I had to drop everything with no preparation, if I just got pulled away, maybe I was knocked unconscious for 2 weeks, like, so I had no time to set things up or change things, what would happen and how can I prevent the bad outcomes there?
Yeah, and hopefully it never happens, but if you're ready for it, then it won't matter if it does. So, yeah, just one of these things to keep in the back of our mind, especially in perhaps the quieter time that we're in before, you know, the summer busyness. It's like maybe it's a good time to think about how we can make ourselves, you know, a bit less essential and a bit more replaceable in that way, I suppose.
Thanks for listening, everybody. And we'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
Bye.